Naturally Speaking.
Hello and welcome to another Naturally Speaking short, your brief glimpse at the goings-on in the Institute of Biodiversity, Animal Health and Comparative Medicine. I'm James Bergen. Joining me, we have Dr. Jennifer Dodd. Hi, Jennifer, and welcome to Naturally Speaking Shorts.
Hi, James.
Jennifer is an accomplished aquatic ecologist. She completed her PhD on freshwater invertebrate communities right here at the University of Glasgow in 2011, before heading to Cambridge to study the effects of killer shrimp, which sounds amazing. What are killer shrimp?
Killer shrimp are an invasive species that originate in the Ponto-Caspian area of Eastern Europe. So that's the area between Turkey and the Black Sea. And they arrived in the UK in 2010 as they made their way through the various canals and river systems across Europe. They are freshwater shrimp. They are bigger than our native shrimp, and they can cause quite serious devastation in the rivers and lakes that they invade.
Wow, sounds quite exciting. But that's in the past, obviously. You're now back at the University of Glasgow, where, well, why don't you explain to us what your research is here at the university now?
So what I'm working on in the university is I'm interested in community ecology, and particularly what mechanisms allow communities to survive in different habitats. And I'm specifically interested in the effects humans have had on community structure, particularly invasive species, and the impacts of pollution. I'm interested in how, if we impact a community, does it return to what it should? You know, does it return to a pristine or unimpacted condition, or does it return to a different state? I use freshwater macroinvertebrates to study the effects of invasive species and pollution on community structure. Freshwater invertebrates are a great group of organisms to work with. They are relatively easy to identify, they're very easy to collect. You just need a pond net and a bucket. And they cover a whole host of different feeding mechanisms, different environmental tolerances. So they tend to encapsulate the prevailing environmental conditions at a site. So by looking at the structure of these animals, we can get a good handle on what's happened in the past and what's happening in the present very easily and very cheaply.
Perfect. Sounds like fun. Now, when I first heard that we were going to be interviewing you for a Naturally Short podcast, something started niggling away at the back of my mind as to your name. Did I recently see you receive an award from the Glasgow Natural History Society?
Yes, James, you did. It was one of my first published papers, and actually that was looking at the River Clyde, the river that runs through Glasgow. And I was looking at how that was recovering and how that had recovered over time. And yes, that was one of my first publications, and they seemed to like it and gave me a book token.
Perfect. Well, there you go. Glasgow Naturalist Society accredited ecologist.
Yes.
So, obviously, you're an aquatic ecologist. You tend more towards the freshwater systems. But what was it that really grabbed you about freshwater ecology and really drew you into the field?
I guess maybe two things, perhaps. First of all, freshwater is going to become one of these issues that is going to have a global impact. Rivers and lakes are our largest source of renewable freshwater, and it's important that we understand their ecology and how they function. And also, living in Scotland, a stone's throw from water anywhere in Scotland. So I obviously thought the job prospects would be pretty good.
Never any shortage of water here.
No.
Especially within the Glasgow area.
Yes.
So has it always been your passion in sort of freshwater ecology, natural ecosystems? Like, what drew you into science in the first place? Was it always a natural progression for you, or was there something that happened which brought you into the field?
I've always been interested in the natural world since a very early age. I spent holidays as a little person with around Scotland. That's all we did. And I spent most of my time in these holidays in a swimsuit and a pair of wellies, because I was in Scotland, of course, grubbing around stones, under stones and in river systems, looking for small things. My mum always said I would always end up with a tan on the back of my neck rather than my face, because I spent my time with my head in the under things. So I've always been interested in the natural world. And then when I went to university, I decided to study zoology.
And in my honours year, I got more interested in freshwater systems at that point.
Nice. And you say you were looking for the small things. So, I mean, most people come into zoology, I think, looking at the big things, big vertebrates, mammals, fish, birds, those kind of things. And I think a bit like you, I'm kind of more interested in the invertebrates. What's the special appeal they hold for you?
There's lots of things I like about them. I like part of it can be more aesthetics than the science side of things. So I actually think they're really quite beautiful things to look at. From a more practical point of view, they're easier to work with. You need less licenses to run experiments and do science with them. They're easy to manage. They have short life cycles, so you can look at you can run quite interesting experiments using them. And also, because they are easy to collect, they've been studied for such a long period of time that there's a lot of information in the scientific literature that you can draw upon.
And so obviously you've been doing freshwater ecology for quite a while now. What would you say was the sort of most important discovery you've made, the thing with the highest impact?
I think actually what I was talking about in the lecture, in that it might be possible for us to predict how a community responds to restoration efforts, and that will allow us to manage our systems better and also monitor them and set ourselves goals that are actually attainable.
Perfect. And kind of, I guess, on the other side of that, what is the biggest sort of puzzle still facing you? Like, what aspect of your research still keeps you up at night wondering?
The same thing, probably, although it seems like they're predictable, I'm not at the point of being able to predict them. So just worrying away at the same problem and being able to construct some kind of model that can, if we feed in basic ecological information, it'll spit out and tell us exactly what we expect to find at a site, given what has happened in its past.
So sort of standard scientific thing, your biggest answer has given you some of your biggest questions.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Straight out. Okay, so it's Naturally Speaking Short, so we're going to try and keep them short. So at the end, we're going to have a couple of quick fire questions, which is just to get your very quick opinions on a couple of things. So first of all, if there was one thing that you wish that everyone out there in the world could understand about your specific research field, what would it be?
The importance of ecosystem function. How ecosystems work and how small changes here and there can have massive changes way down the line.
And what would your advice for a young scientist be? So say I was just finishing my high school exams and I was kind of looking and listening to this podcast and thinking, wow, killer shrimp, they sound really cool, or freshwater ecology, that sounds like a really sweet thing to get involved with. What would be your advice to them? How would they go about doing it?
My advice to everybody getting into any kind of scientific field is, you must not be scared of statistics. It is, you cannot get away from it now, and it's actually once you understand the processes, it's really enjoyable. And actually, I was thinking about it today, and if you're involved with statistics, you have the opportunity to sit in a chair in front of a computer and see things that other people in the world have never seen before, and that's an amazing thing. And so you mustn't be afraid of statistics.
I agree completely, and it's what we hear a lot.
Yeah.
So, I would like to thank you for joining us, but just sort of one last thing. You said what really interested you in the invertebrates was that, you know, aesthetics, they're very pretty. So what's your favourite?
My favourite invertebrates, I guess, would be the cased caddisfly, so the Trichoptera. So these are small invertebrates that build small cases in their juvenile form as means of protection. And some of the cases are really quite beautiful. They're nice to draw. And there's a guy, I think he's French, it could be Swiss. And what he actually does is he uses these animals to make jewellery. So he takes the caddisfly out of their cases, puts them in a tank that has gold flakes, silver flakes, pearls, things like that. And they then construct their cases using these precious metals and make these jewellery. It's very clever. The jewellery is pretty, but I guess it depends what you like.
So essentially farming jewellery with freshwater invertebrates.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for joining us, Jennifer, and all the best with your future research.
Great. Thank you very much for speaking to me today.
I'm James Bergen, and this has been Naturally Speaking Shorts. Tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the Naturally Speaking podcast. If you've got any ideas for future shows or want to get involved, then please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is naturallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. Naturally Speaking is a podcast from the Institute of Biodiversity, Animal Health and Comparative Medicine at the University of Glasgow. For more information, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at the NS Podcast. And you can download future episodes and find more information at our blog at naturallyspeakingpodcast.wordpress.com.